Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's find Proverbs 23 this morning. And we'll begin there. And I want to talk to you this morning about how your thoughts set your boundaries in your life. We've talked about this before, but a lot of things I preach on, I've talked about them before, because how many know we need to hear them over and over again? Let me start out with something funny. You want something funny? I saw this story. It was the difference between California and Texas. It says, the governor of California was walking his dog along a nature trail, and a coyote jumps out and attacks the governor's dog, then bites the governor. The governor starts to intervene, but he reflects on the movie Bambi, and then he realizes he should stop because the coyote is only doing what is natural. So he calls animal control, and animal control captures the coyote and bills the state $200 for testing it for diseases and $500 for relocating it. He calls a veterinarian, and the vet collects the dead dog, and the bills the state $200 for testing it for diseases. The governor goes to the hospital and spends $3,500 getting checked for diseases from the coyote and getting his bite wound bandaged. The nature trail gets shut down for 6 months while California Fish and Game Department conducts a $100,000 survey to make sure the area is now free of dangerous animals. The governor spends $50,000 in state funds implementing a coyote awareness program. The legislature spends $2 million to study how to better treat rabies and how to permanently eradicate the disease throughout the world. The governor's security agent is fired for not stopping the attack. The state spends $150,000 to hire and train a new agent with additional special training on the nature of coyotes. The People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, protests the coyote's relocation and files a $5 million suit against the state. The Texas governor is walking his dog along a nature trail. A coyote jumps out, tries to attack him and his dog. The governor shoots the coyote with his state-issued pistol and keeps walking. The governor spent 50 cents on a .380 caliber hollow point cartridge. Buzzards ate the dead coyote, and that, my friends, is why California is broke and Texas is not. When I saw that, I got to share that with you. I thought that was funny. And kind of true. All right, Proverbs 23, you there? You know, we've just been talking about the mind. We started last week talking about the mind. I don't know how many of these I'm going to preach on, just as I feel led, but I'm going to talk about it again today. And I just want to talk to you about how your thoughts set your boundaries in life. And Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Now, you know, if you keep thinking something long enough, it gets down into your heart. And when it gets in your heart, how many know it starts to control your life? Now, you know, you can't keep thoughts from coming your way, but you can control what gets down in your heart. You can control the thoughts that you entertain. Always like, I don't know who originated this. I heard it from Brother Hagin, and I always thought it was good. He said, thoughts are like this. You can't keep a birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest on top of your head. And so it's kind of that way with thoughts. You can't keep thoughts from coming, but you can stop them from roosting where they don't stay there. And so if you keep thinking thoughts long enough, then they get down into your heart and they begin to control your life. And that's what the writer here is saying. He's saying, as you think in your heart, that's the way you're going to be. And I just want to talk about this just for a little bit this morning, because it's real important that we do something with our thoughts. That we realize that if we just keep thinking something long enough, then, you know, you'll end up living that out in life. And you know, when you deal with people, you know, I've been at this for a long time, and I know people get strongholds. They get to thinking things. And how many know just because you think something doesn't mean it's reality? I will never forget when I was, I was 18, me and two friends of mine, this was before Christ, me and two friends of mine went on vacation together, and we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And Gatlinburg in those days, this was the 1970s, and it wasn't as, you know, it was a tourist destination spot, but it wasn't much like it is now. I mean, it wasn't like the Pigeon Forge and all that area has grown significantly since then. And so, but I remember they had, and I've told this story so many times, but it just really paints a picture of why you can't just let your mind control your life. And they had this, it was called, at that time, it was called the Chevy Show. I think it was sponsored by the Chevy Corporation, you know. And so we went into there, and it was like a three-dimensional screen, and it was like a theater. I don't even remember where it's at, if the building's even still there now. But we went in there, and it was like a theater. If you've ever been to a theater, you know it's got the slanted floor, and it levels out in the back. And so we go in there, and the place is pretty full. So my friends and I, we stand up. And we're standing on the level ground, the level part up, not the slanted floor. There's a bar in front of us. And so they start showing you doing stuff on this screen. You know, you're skiing down a mountain and you hit a pole. You're driving in a sports car and you ram into somebody. And you got these glasses on that kind of make the experience more real. And then one thing that stuck out to me was they showed us on this roller coaster, and we're going around this corner on this roller coaster. And I mean, it's just flying. And next thing I know, I'm leaning like this. My friend's leaning that way, and my other friend's leaning over on me. And we're grabbing onto that bar, and we are on a level floor. We are not going anywhere. But our mind has been tricked to believe it's on a roller coaster, and it just told our bodies, lean, fool. And we leaned into the corner, and it was just, and I didn't think much about it, but after I got saved, I got to think about it. You cannot let your mind control you. Because it's influenced by this natural world, what it sees. And you've got to let the reality in your life be what God has said and not what you see in the natural. Amen. And so that taught, you know, after I was saved, that was a lesson for me to know that your mind, you can't trust your mind. You got to renew your mind. And you got to control what goes on in your mind. And so I have about four scriptures that I want to look at this morning, I think around that, if we have the time, that I want to just talk about. Because right here, he says, as he thinks, now notice this, not just in his head, but it gets down in his heart. It gets down in, because if you think something long enough, it gets down in here. And we know Proverbs tells us out of the heart flow the issues of life, or your boundaries. How many know your boundaries dictate what you can do? Think about this. You live at your house, wherever you live at. Maybe you decide you want to build a shed. You want to put up a shed. And you think, you know, I want more of my backyard. I don't want to use up my backyard, so I'm going to put it on my neighbor's side. How many can understand there's probably going to be an issue with that? Because you're out of your boundaries, right? You know, I've told my neighbor, you know, I've got trees in the back, and they've grown pretty big. And they just, we planted them, they were just little trees, you know. They were probably, I don't know, maybe 3 feet tall, maybe, when we planted them. And we put four of them back there. And, of course, you know, we didn't really weren't thinking about them getting as big as they were going to get, or they wouldn't be four back there. But we put them back there, and now they've grown, and they're like 35 feet tall, maybe 40, I don't know. But they branch out, you know what I'm saying? And they go over and they hang over the fence on the neighbor's side. And I've told him, I said, anything hanging on your side you don't want hanging on your side, cut it off. Because it's off my boundaries. It's out of my boundaries. So my boundaries determine what I can do and where I can go. Without realizing it, we set boundaries in our life on how much God can bless us. And it's because of what we're thinking. because we don't renew our minds with God's word. Amen. Yeah. Now, you know, if you can't just think any way you want to think and it not change your life. Come on. Now, see, the devil knows that, and he uses that against us to try to control what we're thinking and try to change the way we're thinking. And so we have to realize we don't just think in line with what we see or we hear in the natural. We think in line with what the Word says. Thoughts become ways. How many know that? Thoughts become ways. And so we have to go beyond just our natural thinking and let the Word like dictate what we think. I mean, that's what Abraham did. How many know that's what Abraham did? Amen. He about said he considered not his own body. He considered not Sarah's body. Well, how can you do that? Well, you have to have something else to consider. Amen. You have to consider something else. It's like what Dustin was talking about this morning. You have to be looking at something else to keep yourself encouraged. You can't just look at just what you see in the natural. You got to look at what the Word says. Amen. So we go back, and people say, well, what does the Word say? Well, that's where you got to open your Bible up. Have you know that? I know that's a good book. And so when I discovered these things, I go back to my beginning days. I remember those. With, you know, when I got saved, I didn't realize, and nobody did probably, that, you know, the Bible spoke to more than just heaven and hell. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I thought the Bible just talked about heaven and hell. That's all I ever heard. You're either going to heaven or going to hell. And that's pretty important to get that figured out. All right. So, but once you have that figured out, how many know the Bible talks about a lot of things? You know, over the years, I've been challenged by different people about what, you know, about what they think the Bible says, and they haven't even read the Bible. Amen. A guy asked me in my neighborhood what I thought about a particular thing. It's acceptable now in the United States of America. And I told him, I said, well, I tell you, it doesn't matter what I think about it. You know, what matters is what God said about it. So I said, well, here's what the Bible said. And he said, well, I don't know about that. I'm thinking, well, how would you know? You're standing here talking to a guy. Now, I don't mean this arrogance. I hope you understand. But he's standing here talking to a guy who's been doing this, been studying the Bible, been preaching and teaching the Bible for over 40-some years. And he hasn't even read it. But yeah, he knows more about it than I do. You know, it's like when you go into a mechanic and you ask him, you don't know anything about vehicles. If your check engine light comes on, all you know to do is stop, pull over, look, lift the hood up and say, yeah, engine's still there. We're good. Said, check, see if we've got an engine. We got one. That's your knowledge and how many know the way cars are built now, that's about all the knowledge we've got any longer. You know, I remember the days when we pulled it underneath the shade tree and fixed it. And you could actually get your hands in there and do something, you know. And now, just to change the battery, you know what I'm saying? Just change the spark plugs. You got to take the engine partly apart, you know. It's like, who thought of this idea? Anyway, so you get people, and one guy I ran into, he was going to, you know, he asked me about it, and I told him what I thought. But yet he knows more about it than I do. How many know you got to study that book, right? Amen. You got to study that book. And so, as you think in your heart, it gets down inside of you. What you think. If you think something long enough, it starts controlling your life. I went to minister to this family one time, at our church, the first church where I was at. I went to go pray for them. I don't remember what was going on, but I went to their house, and very hard-working family, and yet they lived in such poverty. I mean, extreme poverty. I mean, such poverty that when I went in their house, and you know, I went to sit down, it's like you know you were nice and all, but you really didn't want to sit down because there was so much, so so much poverty, so much dirt, so much filth in their house. And it wasn't because they were lazy, because they worked. They all worked. But the problem was is they had grown up with a mindset of poverty. And it had been passed down. And they didn't realize, as a believer, I don't care whether people like this or not, it's just in the Bible. God's got something better for you than that. Amen. I'm telling you. You know, I've had these arguments with people like, God doesn't care anything about your money, or people, not arguments, but people want to challenge you. Yes, he does. He said something about it in his book. He said something about your health in his book. He said something about your marriage in his book. He said something about the soundness of your mind. He said something about oppression leaving you, depression leaving you. He said something about fear leaving you. He addressed a lot of things in this book. And so anything that's in this book, it's not off limits to preach on. And so these people, you know, I realized that the reason why they were in this shape, it wasn't because they were lazy, it wasn't because they didn't have a job. It's because that poverty is a demon. It's a spirit. And if you think his thoughts, he'll start controlling your life. And so I realized that, you know, even though these are good people and they work hard, they're never going to come out of this unless they change their mindset about what God wants for them in their life and what he has for them. He has something a lot bigger and better than what they were living in. Amen. And so that was a lesson to me when I went to minister to these people years ago, and I saw what they lived in and all, and yet they were good people. They love the Lord. They work hard. But, you know, the devil's just convinced them they're nobodies. They're not worthy of anything. And all that's a lie. I said, all that's a lie. You have to renew your mind, not in an arrogant way, but you got to renew your mind to royalty. You've been made a king and a priest unto God. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hallelujah. He's made provision for us. And if you're gonna believe something else, then that thought gets inside of you, becomes a stronghold, and it'll keep you from having everything God wants for you in this life. You got to get rid of those strongholds. I mean, the Bible talks about strongholds. Amen. And so even Paul, he told us some things. He said that we're to think on things that are good, that are lovely, that are pure, of a good report, that have virtue, are worthy of praise. Amen. Because your mind's like a slide projector. How many remember the old slide projectors? You know, we got a projector now, but it's not a, you know, you put the slides in it, you know, in that little circle, click, click, and it'd show up on the screen. See, your mind's like that. Whatever you put in it will show up on the screen of your life. Amen. Which is why if you put the wrong things in, you'll have the wrong things in life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? A sound mind. That word sound mind means a sound disciplined mind, self-controlled mind. How many know you got to discipline your mind? How many know you got to discipline your children? Why do you discipline your children? Right. Well, there's a lot of reasons we could say, right? So they'll grow up and have a good life. Right? You got to teach them to work. How do you do that? Mow the yard. Pull the weeds. Make your bed. You know what I'm saying? And you train them. And you know, that's the way God does. He trains us with his word. How many know that? He puts the word in us. He trains us with his word. He doesn't correct us with bad things. He corrects us with good things, his word. And so you have to discipline your children so that they will grow up and have a fruitful life. Well, you have to discipline your mind. Your mind will just run crazy on you if you don't discipline it and say, no, we're not going to think those things. The Apostle Paul told us to do this. He said, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Think things only that are good, that are praiseworthy. Think on those things. He said, you've seen me do it. You do it. The God of peace will be with you. I love peace. And so I think about things, I try to think about things the way the Bible thinks about them. You understand? See, I told you, one time a doctor told me this. You know, I had gone for a checkup, you know, just a regular, what they call it, physical, you know, like a deal. And doctors, thank God for them being able to help you, you know. But I've learned something. You got to watch, you don't let them get you in their system. You just got to watch it. Because I took a truck one time to this, and it really was a good garage, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, they had national ranking as any area. And I took my truck to them, and I think I was going to have the brakes replaced on my truck. Not this truck, but another truck I had. I was going to have the brakes replaced. And so when they got, you know, when I took it in there, they called me and said, well, we found some more things wrong. And, you know, I was going to have a brake job. I don't know what it was at that time, you know. A few $100s maybe, before everything went way up, you know, it was probably under $500, you know. And they called me back and said, we found $5,000 worth of things wrong with this truck. I said, $5,000? Yeah, and they start naming all these things that were wrong. And I'm like, look, this is a used truck. I don't want a new truck. If I want a new truck, I just go buy a new truck. I'm not asking you to turn in a new truck. I just want the brakes fixed. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. I never fixed any of that stuff. And I never had a problem. And I sold it to Miss Terry. She still drives it. They still haven't been fixed. That was 20 years ago. 15 anyway. The truck was a 2006. I don't know. It'd be, what, 20 years old? Is that 30? 20? So that was probably at least 12 years ago or so that they told me. None of that's been fixed yet, unless Miss Terry had to fix it and I don't know about it. Huh? She's done a few things, but probably none of the things they told me. They said, you got seals that are leaking. I said, there's never no oil on the floor. As long as it doesn't get on the floor, I'm good. But here's the thing. Were there things that maybe could have been better? Yeah, but listen. You understand, the same thing sometimes is true with doctors is, you know, this isn't a 25-year-old body. Well, you don't have the flexibility you did. Tell me about it. It's been a long time since I've had my foot in my mouth. Tell me about it. Everything's fine, Doc. Amen. I'm good. And I'm not being critical, but I'm simply saying the doctor told me one time, he said that something I had, he said, well, that's incurable. Now, when he said that to me, I didn't rebuke him. He's telling me what he knows in the natural. But I said to myself, there's nothing I've got's not curable. I served the King. I've served the one that made this body. He can fix anything. And so I'm not taking out his final authority in my life. Well, the doc said, well, all right, I'm not saying the doc was wrong. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying he doesn't know everything I know. I've had my mind renewed. You understand? I'm not being critical with him. I'm not even saying anything to him. I'm not saying I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And you don't have to be weird. You know what you know. And sometimes it's appropriate to share it, and sometimes, you know, people aren't ready for it. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Like a friend of mine, one time we were going to see his church. And he opened the door for me. He said, and he was older than me. Brother Leon was probably, what, 10 years older, at least 15 years older than me. Anyway, he's older than me. So he opens the door for me at his church, and he says, age before beauty. I looked at him, I said, pearl before swine. Anyway, how many know? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 that we're to think only certain thoughts. Didn't he say that? He said, we're to think only certain thoughts. And those are the thoughts that we're supposed to think, see? Now, look at Psalm 78. Let me read this to you. Psalm 78. So we're supposed to think thoughts that are good, that are lovely, that are praiseworthy. Yeah, but it says also that they're true and You know, that's true. Well, no, it's got to pass all the muster. Is it praiseworthy? Is it of a good report? It's got to pass it all. Now, Psalm 78, go there. Psalm 78. And this is talking about the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. You know, God brought them out. We all seen the Ten Commandments movie, right? How many seen the Ten Commandments movie? How many know they didn't get everything right in that movie? Remember them carrying that old man out on that? How many remember that? They carried the old man. How many of the Bible said there wasn't a feeble one among their tribes? Why? Because after they partook of the lamb, a mass healing took place. It had to, because they were slaves. They were under servitude. And so when they ate of the lamb, God fixed them all. Amen. Now, look at this. This is this group that came out. And if there was ever a group that you wouldn't want to pastor, these were them. Okay? I often said when God told Moses he was going to destroy them, had I been their pastor, I might have stepped back and said, help yourself. But thank God Moses was the meekest man, the Bible says, in all the earth. Amen. And did you know he's the one that penned that scripture? He wrote that book. I think it's in Numbers. And he's like, are you sure, God? But it was the truth, right? I mean, he wasn't bragging on himself. He was just putting in there what the Lord said to put in there. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. And he stood in an intercession for him. Well, how many have prayed for people you'd like to have killed? Thank God for your meekness. Amen. Now look at this. In Psalm 78, verse 41 says, yea, they turned back. This is talking about the children of Israel. They turned back. They tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now notice what they did, verse 42, they remembered not his hand, or some translations say his power, because that's what that means there, his hand of power, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. So they didn't remember, and that's something, they didn't remember all that he did to get them out of Egypt. I mean, think about this, just parting the Red Sea would have been good enough for me to trust this God throughout eternity. Amen. Just parting the Red Sea. But, you know, all the things that he did, the feeding them with manna from heaven and all the things that he did and the water out of the rock and, you know, all the plagues and he empowered these people to do things that other people couldn't do. You know, and when they went to spy out the land, the Bible said they came back and said, we're just grasshoppers in their sight. But the truth of the matter was God had made the fear of them spread throughout the land. When they finally, the 10 spies that came back, I always want to make sure I got it right. It was 10. Was it 12? It was 12. 12 spies. All right, I've been doing this for 40-some years. You'd think I'd know this by now. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Exactly right. 12 spies. One for each tribe. I got to remember that. One for each tribe. I don't know why I always want to say 10. I guess because there were 10 bad ones. But there were 10 bad. 2 came back and gave a good report, said, let us go at once. 10 came back and said, we can't. The land eats up its inhabitants. There's giants in the land. We're nothing but grasshoppers. But did you know when Joshua sent 2 spies in there, okay? Now let me just say this. Moses didn't send the spies in there to find out where they could take the land. It was for strategy, all right? So they had no right to come back and report and say something different than God said. God said, I've given you land. That wasn't their job. They're not God. That's not their position. And I always keep that in my mind every time I visit a doctor. I don't say that to him, but I said, you know, it's your job to tell me what's going on, not to tell me what to expect. This book tells me what to expect. And I don't mean that arrogantly. I just mean I keep that in my mind. I think that. All right, so they go in there, but the thing of it is, they come back and they have the bad report. But then, before Joshua actually takes them in there, he sends in a couple of spies to go check out the land, see? And they end up at Rahab's house. And Rahab finds out who they are, and she says, "The people have heard of you. Their hearts melt. They faint because of you. They're in fear because of you." So they weren't looking at these Israelites because as grasshoppers. They were looking at that, and they explained why. They said, "Because we've heard what your God did, how he parted the Red Sea, and how you guys, now listen, defeated Sihon and Og." Sihon and Og were two legendary kings that nobody messed with. Nobody had victories over these two guys. Amen. They were the superpowers of the day. You understand that? And this group, this ragtag bunch of people that came out of Egypt that weren't even an official army, went in there and defeated these guys. So she said, when we heard those stories, she said, there was no strength left in anybody because we knew they're coming our way. So how many know what the 10 spies reported was a lie? It was an evil report. The truth was God had magnified them in the eyes of the people because of what he had done. They weren't afraid of the people as the people per se. They were afraid of the people because of their God that backed them. And they said, we don't want to mess with your God. We're not going to do it. But yet it says they turned back, and notice this, they limited. In other words, to limit means you only allow to go so far. Right? Limitless means no boundaries. I'm limited. I live, you know, where I live at, I'm limited on what I can do. There's boundaries in the subdivision where I live at. First of all, I got the boundaries of my yard. You know what I'm saying? You go put a fence up. You got to go get the approval that it's the right fence. You put a shed up. You got to go to the city and get approval and make sure you keep it 3 feet off your property line. They've taken 16 feet of my yard for a right-of-way and then more in the front for a right-of-way. All right? So when they get done, I got a postage stamp. Now, I still have to take care of their right-of-way and mow it and everything else. But, you know, there's a right-of-way here. You can't build on that. There's limits on that. I can't park my vehicle out on the street overnight. I do sometimes, or some people do, because by the time they ever get to me, we'll be gone. It's like a friend of mine, an evangelist friend of mine, said he was here preaching one time, he had a 40-foot bus. He says, where do you park a 40-foot bus? Anywhere you want to. Because the time they get something big enough to haul it off, you're gone. So you can't do certain things. Your shed has to match your house. It can't have different shingles on it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's a covenant. There's rules. And I know I came from the country where nobody told you anything. You just let your dog run loose. You know, you mowed what came up. If you mowed, all your cars were in the backyard. You wouldn't go get rid of those. That's parts, man. Come on, how many are country enough to know what I'm talking about? Don't that. Come on, Pastor Chuck. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Your old couch, it's on the front porch. Dog loves it. Some of y'all are too cityfied. You need to experience some country life. Amen. Where there is no rules or regulations. And amen. You know, oil change in those days? We changed our own oil. What'd you do with the oil? We dumped it in the road. We get 50 years for that today. But we always say, kept the dust down. And we lived on Rock Road. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't no, like, pavement. What's pavement? That's for city folk. Amen. Amen. Pastor Chuck, he lived way out there, too. Farther than I was kind of city. I was really more of a city guy than he was. We had some stoplights. Three anyway, at least two or three. Amen. So, limits. We limit ourselves by our thinking. We set our boundaries in our life. And we don't even sometimes realize it, that we're not letting God do more in our life by our thinking, because we're just thinking small. Let's look at one last scripture, Isaiah chapter 54. Go there. I want to talk to you about some things personally with my own life that I had to, renew my thinking on. Isaiah 54. Go there. We'll close right here. So we have to enlarge our thinking. We have to realize that our boundaries in life, they're set by our thinking. You know what? I mean, if you think, just think about this. Think about. I had to renew my mind to technology. You know, when technology started changing, go back 40 years and look how much technology has changed in 40 years. If you'd have told me 40 years ago you're going to carry your phone with you, I'm thinking, man, it'd be a long cord, isn't it? You know what I mean? You remember you stuck your finger in the hole and just. Remember what Facebook was in those days? It was called a party line, a three-party line. You just lift up and hear what the neighbors are doing. Come on, have me remember that. You wait your turn, you know. And listen, I'm not knocking. I'm glad things have changed, you know, in some ways. And I remember, you know, things started to change, and we didn't have cell phones yet, but we got pagers. Remember those? Where people could buzz you, zzz, 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 and their number would come up, and you would have to go try to find a phone somewhere to call them and see what was going on. That was the dumbest idea I ever did. Well, maybe not the, but it ranks up there in the top 10 is buy a pager. I remember one time I got a zzz, 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 and I'm thinking, well, it could be emergency. Maybe somebody at church needs something, you know. Maybe somebody needs prayer, you know. So I have to go hunt a phone down. I call the number, and somebody wants to know what time church service starts. Same time it has for years. It's, all right? And I think I went through all that just for that. And it isn't even church day. But then we progressed and we went to cell phones. And who would have ever thought, you know? And I remember, you know, I'm not a fast typer. I'm a find and land type guy, you know, on the phone. You know, you see kids, even older people now, just, I'm still kind of like, I'm a little better than I was. But then I heard about, you know, they came out with a phone, you could speak your text into it. And I thought, I got to get me one of those. And I got me one of those. Here's what I found out. Read it before you send it. A friend of mine, minister friend of mine, sent one to his daughter-in-law. Her name was Sarah. And so he sends it to her. She gets it. It says, Satan. Satan, are you coming over tonight, you and your, for dinner? I mean, you better read it, right? We had one friend. She did one thing on foot to Facebook or something to one of her friends. And she said to my, she meant to say to my dear friend, she said to my dead friend. But technology, who would have thought that we'd be watching TV or could watch TV on our phones? If you told us that 40 years ago, we thought, are you crazy? I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard this. I might have been a NASA guy said it. I think it was. He said, there's more technology in your smartwatch than there was that we used to go to the moon. Think about that. And yet, you know, I don't have a smartwatch, you know, but you know, I've got friends that do. I mean, the things you can do with that. I mean, like in my house, I mean, I don't have to get up and even change the thermostat. All I got to do is tell Alexa, hey, set the upstairs to 65. I told her that this morning before I left. Set the upstairs to 65. I go my way. She takes care of it. And now Alexa, they've upgraded her. And the new one's like real mouthy. She's real mouthy. I told her, I said, just stick to the facts. You know, and once she smarted off to me the other day, I forget what it was, but I said something to her and she smarted off to me. I said something funny to her. Yeah, she said, yeah, I said something kind of stupid to her. She says, your communication skills are really good. I could still unplug you, lady. I still have authority. Amen. So shut your mouth, all right? But how many know, that took some renewing of the mind. And when it first started coming out, I had a little resistance and stuff and things like, oh, man, you know. But, you know, after you start using it, some of it is an improvement on life. Some of it helps you. I'm grateful for a garage door opener. You know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. I remember the days you had to get out in the rain and lift it up. You know what I mean? I'm grateful for that. Now, you know, it's like, you know, years ago when it was like minus 10, it was a big deal because you could get yourself killed. But now it's like, you know, I can start my truck on my phone. You know what I mean? And so you'll get in a warm truck, you know what I'm saying, and drive it. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like the big deal it was years ago. Come on, you know, when Pastor Chuck's days, when he was, you know, horse and buggy, going to the store. I mean, 10 below was a big deal. It's not today. He's older than me. You know that, right? Okay. You find Isaiah 54. Come on, somebody, you get anything today? I'm just talking about how your mind controls your boundaries. You've got to renew your thinking so God can do more in your life. You got to think bigger. Isaiah 54, the Bible says, sing, O barren, you who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who did not travail with child, for more of the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. And now, notice the next verse. What, or the very first word, what does it say in your Bible? Enlarge. Enlarge. Make bigger the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. But the thing that he said was you're going to have to, before all that takes place, you need to enlarge. You need to enlarge. Everybody say enlarge. Enlarge. You need to enlarge the place of your tent. You need to stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Listen to that. Don't be cheap about it. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Why? Because something's about to break forth. But you have to enlarge. And one of the things that before God can really do what he wants to do in our lives, we have to enlarge our thinking. And I had to enlarge my thinking, you know. When we first came down here to this area, way back, it seemed like it shouldn't be that long ago, but it's way back in 1995 now, when we moved from where we were living at to down here to do the work of God. But when we first came here, all right, we went to lease a house. And the prices here were a lot different than what they were where we came from. Now, a lot of that's caught up now, but it hadn't then. It hadn't then. And I remember Phyllis and I, we went to look at a house. It was a decent house. It wasn't, you know, nothing fancy, nothing outrageous, but it's just an average nice house, 3-bedroom home. We went to look at it, and we looked at it and found out that it was 2 to 3 times more a month than what we were paying for our house we were buying. 2 to 3 times more. So it was a culture shock. So I told Ms. Phyllis, there is no way I'm paying that a month for a house. I'm not going to do it. Because, well, one thing, I didn't really have it. And I'm not talking about doing things foolishly, but I needed a place to live. How many know you got to have a place to live? So I said, we're going to get an apartment, okay? And we're not against apartments. Matter of fact, if it were just me, I'd probably go to one myself right now. Don't have to mow, shovel snow, any of that. But you got to keep the wife happy. Happy wife, happy life. She likes living in her own home. But if she would ever go to heaven for me, that home's gone. I'm going to a condo apartment, some patio, someplace where they do all of it, you know. All I want to do is eat and breathe, okay? So I tell her, I said, no, I'm not going to pay that for a house. I said, we're going to get an apartment. She says, I don't want to live in an apartment. Nothing wrong with apartments, but that's just, yeah, everybody's got different tastes. She said, I don't want to live in an apartment. And I said,
whine.
She didn't whine. I mean, it just sounded like whining to me, you know, like a little chihuahua dog. No, I'm just, she said, I don't want to live in an apartment. And I'm like, well, that's just the way it is. I'm not going to pay that for a house. She said something to me that broke it all. She says, did God send us here? I said, yes, he did. She said, did he know how much houses cost? I said, call the lady. We rented the house. I never did like that because I was just thinking about the dollar things. But see, I had to renew my mind. And we would go look in these parade. Remember the parade of homes they used to have?
I remember those.
They still have them, right? Parade of homes. And we would go to these because we like that kind of thing. So we'd go look at the parade of homes and go through those houses. And I'd see those houses and I would think. And even though I'm a faith guy and I didn't verbalize it, it's in my thinking. It's in my heart. And I think there's no way I could ever buy one of these houses. No way. Couldn't happen. See, what am I doing? Now, life's not about that stuff, but God does want to bless us. And if we limit God in one area, who's to say we won't limit him in spiritual things? Who's to say? So you don't think the church hasn't? The Bible says in Proverbs not to remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. Listen, the church has removed those landmarks where our fathers set the spiritual things that they had. We moved those back and set them back and brought them in smaller. The boundaries of the church are smaller than what they used to be. Our expectation is smaller. We have to enlarge that. We shouldn't have never moved those boundaries. Well, our fathers, forefathers had that. You even hear that preached. Well, the early church had that. Well, wait a minute. Hey, we're still the same church. And so I had to renew my mind to that. I had to renew my mind. I had to change my thinking. That God could get me in anything he wanted me to be in. And it doesn't matter what people think. All that matters is that you're honest before God and you let him bless you. See, people get criticized. Ministers get criticized for having a blessed lifestyle. Well, you know, it's like one minister, he gets criticized over his blessed lifestyle. But what one person that knows him said, you don't know, you know, they talk about, well, he's got a nice car. Yeah, but they say, you don't know the 17 he gave away. They don't talk about that. They don't mention that. They don't mention that he sowed a bunch of seed. They don't mention he sacrificed. They don't mention he gave things away and he had to walk. Because the Lord dealt with him about things, giving stuff away. They don't talk about that part. They just talk. See, you know what I'm saying? Catherine Kuhlman had the best saying about that. She said, my train's traveling too fast to stop and throw rocks at barking dogs. Let them bark. I said, that'll preach. So anyway, I had to renew my mind. And you know, God started blessing us. He started giving us nicer places. Not that we have a mansion or anything like that. But you know, I'm saying you had to renew your mind. Look, I'm not opposed to God blessing me, and you shouldn't be either, with anything he wants to give me. As long as he gave it to me, what's it matter? People don't have problems with people winning the lottery. What about if God blesses you? I sent Phyllis this picture of this house, this mailing of this house the other day. I sent it to her. And I forget the caption, what I said, you know, on the memo line, but it was only $138 million. Listen, I don't even want that. Somebody's got to clean that. But I had to renew my mind and think, well, God can do good things for me. I don't know why he can't. If he doesn't for other people, what can he do for me? And, you know, finally, eventually, it took a while. He put me in one of those Prairie Homes houses. He did it. He did it. It's not a big deal. Doesn't matter whether I live in a Prairie Home house or a chicken coop as long as I'm serving him. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying don't limit God. It isn't about that. You understand what I'm saying? It isn't about that. You know what I'm saying? You know, a 72 smoking Maverick will get you to, you know, will get you to Culver's just as quick as a, you know, a Bentley or a Lexus. Right? But it's a lot more comfortable in the Lexus. In the, what are they, Lexus? They still make those cars? Yeah. So anyway, my point is, I'm not making this about things. I'm just saying, if you're going to cut God off, and you're going to, by your thinking, you're going to set your boundaries, and they're going to be less than what you want. Amen. Right. So I hope you got something this morning. I'm just talking about, you know, your thoughts set your boundaries in life. You have to determine, you know, what am I going to let get down in my heart? You got to start changing thinking. I mean, you don't change your thinking overnight. I said, you don't change your thinking. You got to renew your mind. Amen. I'm going to ask the team to come up. Come, I hope you got something this morning out of this. It didn't sound like we're just getting too natural, too carnal, talking about material stuff. But those things are something God will bless you with. Actually, you know, the thing of it is the Bible says if you'll just seek first the kingdom of God, he'll add everything you need to you. Just put him first and trust him. Don't be caught up in that kind of thing. Don't worry about that. Just let him take care of it. But don't hinder him either by small thinking, so I could never have that. Maybe you drive along, you know, you see this nice home and you think, boy, I'd like to have that. Well, and you say, well, God, I could never have that. Wait a minute, what if God wanted to give that to you? Amen. A guy told a story. He said one time, I heard him, and some of you have heard the same man tell his story. He said that, you know, his kids wanted him to get a boat, so they could go out on the lake and have fun. And he said, well, he didn't really want a boat. He said, but if you kids want a boat, he said, just pray and ask God to give us a boat. And he said they put an agreement out on the refrigerator, Lord, we're believing you for a boat so we can go out and have fun with Dad when he's, you know, around and all. And so he said, you know, they'd see that on the refrigerator and they'd thank God for their boat, you know. He said, finally, he said, I got a call from a guy. He said, you know what, I got a boat I want to give you. He said, really? He said, yeah, yep. He said, okay. He said, he said, can I bring it over? He said, yeah, bring it on over. He brought him a nice bass boat. Give it to him. He said, I don't know, it might have been a day or two later, another got another call. And the guy said, you know what, God's been dealing with me to give you a boat, my boat. He said, really? He said, what is it? He said, it's a 40-foot cruiser or something like that. He's thinking, what in the world's going on here? Two boats? I don't need two boats. He said, can I bring it over? He said, bring it on over. So he said, he looked at that piece of paper his kids had written out, and it said, he asked the Lord about it. I said, why are you giving me two boats? The Lord said, go look at that piece of paper your kids agreed on. He said, I looked at it and they said, what was it? Give us the perfect boat. He said, kids, what do you mean like by that? Well, he said, we know you like to go out and fish, so we need a fishing boat. And he said, then we also want to go out and just have fun. And that took one of the, whatever they call them, cabin cruiser, something like that. Cabin cruiser. And the Lord said, they don't make that in one boat. I had to give you two. See, that can choke some people, but God's not limited. He knows all kinds of people with boats. I don't want a boat, but maybe you do. But God's got, you understand, the things that God has for us, we have to renew our mind. Amen? And think bigger. And for those of you that are watching and going to post ugly notes, look, we're not talking about just material things. But we're not limiting God to blessing us with material things if he wants to do that. We'll leave that in his hands. If we need something, we'll ask him. He'll take care of it. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.